Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 10th chapter of Hilchos Gerushin. In this Perek, the Rambam will discuss different halachos which relate to a woman who remarries off of a get which she ought not to have.
Halacha Aleph. Kol makom shamarne b'chibur zeh, sha get batol, o enu get, o enu migureshes, hariz a get batol min ha-Torah, va'adayin hi eshet esh gemura. Whenever the Rambam writes in Mishnah Torah that the get has been batol or is enu get, or is in a migreshes, that the get has been nullified, or that it's not a get, or that she's not divorced, in that case, it is nullified on a Torah level, and therefore she's still fully married. And therefore, if she goes and gets remarried on the basis of such a get, so then she must leave that new husband, and any child she has from that new husband is considered illegitimate. And if her husband was a Kohen, then she's not forbidden to him as having been a divorcee. Except for a case where somebody divorces his wife and says to her, "You are hereby divorced from me, but you are not permitted to any person." Even though this is not a get at all, she is nonetheless forbidden to marry a Kohen on a rabbinic level. A woman who's been divorced from her husband, and Chazal made a drasha off of this, even if she's only been divorced from her husband and has not been permitted to everybody else, nonetheless, she is still considered a divorcee with regards to being forbidden to a Kohen. And this is what we refer to as the smell, the scent of a get, which invalidates a woman to marry a Kohen on a rabbinic level. Now, wherever the Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah that the get has been pasul, it's invalid in that sense. That means invalid on a rabbinic level, alone. And she is forbidden, therefore, from the Kohanim on a Torah level, because she's really been divorced. Now, ideally, off such a get, she should not go and get remarried, but if she does get remarried, she doesn't have to leave that new husband, and the child will still remain legitimate. And then the original husband writes her a new valid get and gives it to her while she's still living with her new husband. However, if it is impossible for the old husband to write her a get for whatever reason, and this new husband was somebody who was God-fearing and wanted to do the right thing, and he divorced her all on his own, so then that's considered praiseworthy if he doesn't yet have children from her. But if he does have children from her, lo yotzi, then he should not divorce her in that case. They psula get out of concern that the get has been invalid. Why? Shemayotzi laz abanav, because in that case, maybe people will think that his children are illegitimate. Halacha gimel. V'chamakom shamarnu b'chibur zeh, hari zeh safek gerishin, o shehi safek megreshes. And anywhere where the Rambam has referred to a case of uncertainty with a divorce, lo tinase. In that case, she's not supposed to ideally go and get remarried. V'emnisez teitze v'avlad safek mamzer. And if she does go ahead and get remarried, then she must divorce the new husband, and the child is considered potentially illegitimate. Because it's possible that she is an ishes ish. She still is a married woman. Similarly, if somebody divorced his wife with an invalid get, or that it was uncertain whether she had been divorced, and he now wishes to remarry her, then she is permitted to her husband. He has no requirement to even go and renew the marriage, and to make the 7 special blessings, and to make a new ksuba, until the point where he has done a complete valid divorce. Now, whenever somebody has been married with an invalid on a biblical level get, nonetheless, she still needs a new get from her new husband on a rabbinic level, in order so that people not say that a woman who looks like a married woman has left without a get. And she also requires a get from the original husband in order to now permit her to everybody else. And she's forbidden to both the first and second husband forever, even though she had only had relations with this new husband on an inadvertent basis. She didn't realize that she was still married. The reason why we don't allow them to remain married is because we don't want people to say that he has taken back his divorcee once she's been remarried. And if either of them violates this and goes ahead and remarries her, then we force them to divorce the wife. Halacha hey. V'chein adin b'isha shebao la'idim shemeis baila, v'nisseis, v'akakach ba baila. Similarly, The same halacha applies with regards to a woman who had witnesses come and tell her that her husband had died, and then on the basis of that she had gone and gotten remarried, and then afterwards the husband came. Bein shehaya baila pikeach, bein shehaya chiresh, bein shenisis the pikeach, bein shenisis the chiresh, she'ein kedusha of kedushin gemurin, teitzei mishneim, v'tzricha get mishneim, v'nestra al shneim olamas. Whether her husband was a regular person or somebody who was deaf-mute, or whether her new husband was somebody who was a regular person or deaf-mute, and therefore the Kedushin is only a rabbinic one, nonetheless, she must leave both of them, and she needs a get from both of them, and she's forbidden to both of them forever.
Halacha Vav. Harishin is kachav achar kach ba baila, o nimsa haget, batal, harezu muteres the baila, ve'ena tzricha get misheni, she'en Kedushin tofsin ba rayos. If the woman had merely been betrothed after these witnesses came and said that her husband had died or had given her a get, and then along comes the husband, or they discover that the get itself was actually invalid, then in that case, she's still permitted to her husband, and she doesn't need a get from the second husband who she might have remarried, because the first stage of marriage, the Kedushin, can take effect when it's a woman who's considered an erva, as she was when she was still married. Now, in this case, we don't have to be concerned that people might say, oh, you see that a married woman is leaving her marriage without a get. Since she had never been fully married, in this case, we can say that people will say, oh, there must have been some sort of stipulation in the Kedushin that was never filled, and that's why she didn't need a get. If a woman had been remarried on the basis that she had been divorced, but then it was discovered that the get was actually invalid, or that she had heard that her husband had died, and then afterwards it turns out that he had actually not died, he comes in afterwards, neither the first nor the second husband have any claim to any lost object of hers, nor to her income, nor to the capacity to annul her vows, and any produce that they had eaten after they had been married, that, though, we do not take away from them. Now, the wife doesn't have any claim of a ksuba, nor any of the stipulations of the ksuba, nor sustenance from either of them. In fact, if she takes from either of them, then she must return it. And with regards to anything that she had brought in as dowry, even things which are tzon barzel, which the responsibility is supposed to be on the husband's, that she has no claim to claim from them. She can't seize any lost value that they might have had. Vavlad menasheni mamzer, and any child born to the second husband is illegitimate. Vim ba'leha rishon kodem shegir shesheni, hari vavlad mamzer midivrahim. And if the first husband had relations with her prior to the second husband divorcing her, in that case, the child is considered illegitimate on a derabbanan level, on a rabbinic level. Girsha sheni v'natla menu ksuba v'achakach ba baila onim saged batal ein motzi miyada mashnadla lomer mizonos lomer ksuba. If the second one had divorced her, and she had received her ksuba, and then only afterwards does the original husband come back or the get turns out to be invalid, in that case we don't take that which he's taken away from her, whether with regards to the actual ksuba itself, or with regards to the sustenance that she might have received as payment for a divorcee. The same halacha applies with regards to brothers. When one of them had betrothed a particular woman, and then he had gone away, they heard that he had died, and then the other brother had done levirate marriage to his wife, then afterwards, the original brother comes back. In that case, she must be divorced from both of them, she requires a get from both of them, and all the different penalties just mentioned in the previous halacha will apply to her as well. And similarly, if a man had betrothed a particular woman, and then she goes away, and they hear that she had died, and then he marries her sister, and then afterwards it was discovered that she hadn't died, in that case, both of them require a get from him, and all the different penalties apply to both of them. Lachates. Aval im halcha ishto hanesua l'medina acheres, v'sham haba shemesa, v'nasa achosa, v'nim zeis ishto kayemes, ein achosa tzricha menu get, v'ishto muteres. However, if somebody's wife, who was fully married to him, the second stage of marriage, not just betrothal, had gone off to some other place, and then he heard that she had died, And then he married her sister, and it was discovered then that his wife, his original wife, was still alive. So then the sister does not require a get from him, and his wife, his original wife, is still permitted to him. V'chein shar arayos, sh'nasan b'chetzkas heter, nimzu erva, einan tzrichos get, she'en kedushin tofsin b'arayos. And similarly, with regards to any case of an erva, that somebody had married them under the presumption that they were permitted to him, and then it was discovered that they were actually forbidden to him. So in that case, they don't require a get, because since the betrothal doesn't take any effect on them, because they are considered an erva, therefore, there's no need to require a get. Halacha yud. M'nei trichu achos arusaso get. If that's the case, for what reason did they require the sister of the woman that he had betrothed to receive a get? Shema yomru t'nayhai be'erisin ukdas nos achosa. Because there's a concern that people might say that there had been some stipulation in the betrothal, and therefore he had legitimately married her sister. And now that the second sister has left him with a get because of what we've required, the first one, the sister who was his betrothed, also is forbidden to him. So that way people will not come to think that he had married the sister of the woman he had divorced. If the scribe makes a mistake, and he had written both the get as well as the shover, which is the receipt that the man is supposed to receive from the woman for having paid the ksuba, and the sofer messed up, he by accident gave the get to the man and this receipt to the woman. Or that they made the mistake, and they each took the wrong document. And they both imagined that he had divorced her. And only afterwards they discover their mistake when the get is found to be in the hand of the man. If she hasn't yet married somebody else, in this case, she's not divorced. Now that we've discovered that she's not divorced, and we publicize this, instead, we tell the man to go and take the get, give it back to her in front of witnesses, and then she'll be fully divorced from the moment that he hands it to her. If, however, she had married somebody else, and only then the husband pulls out the get, and now he claims that she had never been divorced from him. Look, the get is in my hand. It never reached her. In that case, we don't listen to the husband in order to forbid her to her current husband. Rather, instead we presume that she was indeed divorced, and it must have been that the get had fallen from her hand, and this original husband had found it, and now he's just coming to cause problems. He's trying to forbid her to her second husband. If somebody is divorcing his wife because he's unfortunately heard bad reports about her, or because she's known to take too many vows, we say to him as follows. You should tell her that the reason why you're divorcing her is in order to teach her the right way to live life, to cause her to rethink her actions, and you should also know that you're never going to be able to remarry her. Now, for what reason is somebody who divorces a wife in this circumstance unable to ever remarry her? We are concerned that perhaps this woman will go and marry somebody else, and she'll start behaving better under that husband, and she'll act modestly and correctly. And then the original husband's going to say, had I known that she would behave this way, then I never would have divorced her. And then it will emerge that it will be like he had divorced her on a stipulation, and that stipulation had never been fulfilled, at which point the get is retroactively invalid. Therefore, we tell him at the onset, you should make up in your mind that you're divorcing her because you're never going to take her back. However, if he transgresses these words and he ultimately remarries her prior to her having been married to somebody else, in that case, he does not need to get rid of her. Similarly, if somebody is divorcing his wife because she is seemingly infertile, or because every time they have relations she sees blood, in that case, he is also not allowed to ever remarry her. we are concerned that perhaps she'll marry somebody else, and this infertile woman will suddenly give birth. Or this woman who would see blood every time she had relations will suddenly be healed. And the husband, the original husband, will say, had I known that this was the case, I never would have divorced her, at which point the get will be retroactively invalid and the children will be illegitimate. However, if the husband transgresses and he remarries her, again, prior to her ever having had kedushin by somebody else, in that case, we don't make him divorce her. If a messenger is carrying a get from outside of the land of Israel, and therefore appropriately says, before me it was written, before me it was signed, in that case, he is not supposed to remarry her himself, because we are concerned that maybe he's desired her, and that's why he testified for her. Similarly, if a single witness testifies to a woman that her husband had died, and therefore she's given the right to remarry based on his words, that witness is not supposed to remarry her. Similarly, a wise man who has forbidden a woman on her husband based on a vow, in that case too, that wise man is not supposed to remarry her. Similarly, if somebody has a relationship with a woman who is currently a slave woman, and then she's freed, or with a non-Jew, and then she becomes a Jewess, in that case, he's not supposed to marry her. Similarly, if there's a non-Jew or a slave who had relations with a regular Jewish woman, even though afterwards the non-Jew has converted or the slave has been freed, in that case, they are not supposed to marry her. However, with regards to all these cases, if they transgressed and they ended up marrying in the cases where they weren't supposed to, we don't insist that they get divorced. In all the earlier cases, if these different men had wives and then their wives had died or they had divorced their wives because their wives had prompted it, in that case, they are allowed to marry the women who are mentioned above, even ideally. Similarly, if these women had married other people and then had become widowed or were divorced, then in that case, they are also, again, allowed to marry these men who were just mentioned beforehand, and that's even true, ideally. Halacha Tezayin. V'chol ha'achas mehen mutaris ninasi leben ha'id she'ed la, o leben ha'chacham she'atzer al baila, o leben ha'nitan aleha o leshar kohen. Now, each one of these women is permitted to remarry the son of the one who had testified for her, or the son of the wise man who had forbade her on her husband, or the son of the one who she seemingly had a relationship with, or to any other relatives. Because we don't suspect that a person will sin in order that somebody else, even a good friend of theirs, even a relative of theirs, will benefit. And a woman is permitted to remarry one of the witnesses who had testified about her divorce or her refusal to remain with her husband if she had been married off as a child by her brother or her mother, or to one of the judges to whom she had done the process of chalitza in a case of levirate marriage in front of. Because we are only concerned with regards to the testimony of one individual. And in general, a person should always try to stay away from serving as a witness for the process of a wife refusing herself to her husband, and he should try to make himself available to serve as a witness with regards to enabling somebody to do chalitza. Halacha Yud Zayin. Hamagarshis ishto b'chazer ubala b'fnei edim, kodim shetinasi la'acher. Bein shegirshim min ha'nisuin, bein min ha'irisin. Hov ishto haisa, harezu b'cheskas shechzir l'shem kedushin ba'al. Below the shame is nus. Hafilu ro so shnus on lamos. Shachadaki shane adam osa bilaso beishto bilas nus. Hari biyadu lasosa bilas mitzvah. If somebody divorced his wife and then afterward had relations with her in front of witnesses before she had remarried somebody else, whether he had divorced her from the full stage of marriage or whether he had divorced her only from the first stage of marriage, since she's his wife, in that case, the presumption is that he had remarried her. When he had a relationship with her, he had done so for the purposes of betrothal, and not just for some licentious purpose. And this is even if we had seen him hand her over money, because the general presumption is that a person won't make an act of relations that he has with his wife be one which is licentiousness when he has the opportunity to do it as a mitzvah. Lefikach, harizu becheskas mekudeshes, kedushei vadai, utzricha menu getsheni. Therefore, she's under the presumption to have been fully remarried to him, to the point where now she will require a second get. Halacha yudches, nisyachid ima b'fnei edim, hu sheyu shneha edim ke'achad, If somebody had secluded himself with this former wife in front of witnesses, and these two witnesses were both present at the same time, if she had been divorced from the latter stage of marriage initially, in other words, he had been fully married her, then divorced her, and now had secluded himself with her, in that case we have to be concerned that they might have had relations, because they are more comfortable with one another. And those very witnesses who had seen the seclusion are the witnesses to testify, so to speak, that they had had relations. Because anybody who has relations and intends to betroth with that act, he doesn't need to actually have relations in front of the witnesses. Rather, he simply has to seclude himself with his wife in front of them and then have relations, as the Rambam has already explained. Therefore, she requires a get out of doubt because it's uncertain whether or not she had been betrothed again. However, had this wife only first been married to this husband with the first stage of marriage, and then he had divorced her from that, and then he had secluded himself with her, in that case, we don't have to be concerned that maybe they had relations and he had betrothed her again, because he's not as comfortable with her because he had never been fully married to her. Lachiotes. Hormix as a gonim, shekol isha shib tibal b'fnei edim tzricha get. Chazaka shein adamosa bilaso bilasnos. Now, the Rambam quotes that there were some Gaonim who had ruled that any woman who had relations in front of witnesses requires a get, because the presumption is that a person won't make his act of relations be one of licentiousness. And the Rambam says they went so far with this principle that they even said that one should rule that if somebody had a child from his maidservant, we have to be concerned that if this individual dies, that his wife not require levirate marriage, because perhaps that husband had initially freed this slave woman and then had relations with her, at which point this is a legitimate child of his. And there were those who even ruled absolutely he had for sure freed her, because a person won't make his act of relations be one of licentiousness. The Rambam then tells us very strongly that all these different rulings are very, very far from being true in his mind, and indeed they seem distant from the path of general rulings, and one should not rely upon them. Because the Rambam explains, when Chazal said there's this presumption that a person won't make his act of relations be one of licentiousness, that's with regards to his wife, who he had divorced, or when he had betrothed her on condition, and then had relations without clarification. Because after all, she's his wife, and with his wife, the presumption is that he won't make the act be one of licentiousness, unless he explicates that he's doing it for the purposes of licentiousness, or he explicates that he's doing so only on condition. With regards to any other woman, the presumption is that he was just having an act of relations, and that's licentiousness, nothing to do with an act of kedushin. And it goes without saying, with regards to a woman who is a slave woman, or a non-Jew, where there's no concept of betrothal at all, that we don't have to be concerned, maybe she had been freed, or maybe she had converted, or the like. There's no need to be concerned. And the presumption, therefore, is that any child that comes out from them is assumed to be not Jewish, or a slave, until we know for a fact that his mother had been freed, or had converted. If somebody had been assumed to have now been married, whether from the latter stage of marriage or from the first stage, and then suddenly rumor spreads that she had been divorced, Afilu rova ir okula mavir na kol shen iskarsha. Even if most of the city or all of it are spreading this rumor that she had been divorced, ein choshen la varehi bechazkasa. We don't have to be concerned for it, and she remains in her presumption of being married. Al im yatsa shma b'ir mekudeshes v'hochzak hakol beistin sharehi mekudeshes b'safei kamo shibirarnu v'achar kach yatsa aleh kol shen iskarsha me'osan akdushin hakol athar v'akol atira v'yirzum egreshes. However, if she had only been presumed to have been married based on a rumor, and it was one that had been established in Beis Din, and therefore we treat her as perhaps, in a case of uncertainty, being betrothed, as the Rambam has already explained in Hilchos Ishas, and then afterwards another rumor comes out that she had been divorced from that very betrothal, in that case, since it was only a rumor which had forbade her, and now it is a rumor which is permitting her, she is considered permitted, and she has been divorced. Lachav Aleph. Lo yisa adam isha v'daito ligarsha. A person should not marry a woman with intent to divorce her. Lo tia yoshevas tachtav mesham mashto v'daito ligarsha. Furthermore, she should not be living by him, serving him, with his intent all along, secretly, to divorce her. Lo yigarish adam ishto rishona, elim kein matza ba ervas davar, shneemar ki matza ba ervas davar, v'gomer. Furthermore, a person should not divorce his first wife unless he has found some act of immorality in her, as the pasuk says. The reason why he's divorcing her is because he discovered immorality. A person should not be quick to send away his first wife. However, with regards to the second wife, if he despises her, he is able to send her away. A woman who is bad with regard to her beliefs, her character traits, and is not modest as the way of proper Jewish girls are, then it is a positive command to divorce her. As the pasuk says, one's supposed to drive away somebody who is a scoffer. The isha shenizgarsha mishum pritas ein roi l'adam kasher shiasena. And a woman who has been divorced because of some sort of immorality, it's inappropriate for a person who is a good, upstanding member of society to marry her. Shelo yomer zehotzi risha mibeso v'zeh machnisena. So that way people not say that, look, this guy sent away this wicked woman from his home, and this guy goes and brings her in. Hilchav Gimel, the final halacha in the parak. Mishenis charsha ishto, harizem migarsha beget, betiyah migreshes. If somebody's wife became a deaf mute, he's able to divorce her by handing her a get, and that divorce will take effect. Av imish taatis, animotiyah achitavri. However, if she has lost her sanity, then he is not able to divorce her until she becomes healthy. V'davar zet tekanas chamhu, kadesh lote hefker leprutzen, shere ene yichol lishmaratz. The Rambam explains that this is only a rabbinic enactment in order so that she not be open for anybody who is a lewd, licentious person to take advantage of her because she's not able to guard herself. Therefore, instead, he leaves her still married him. He marries another wife to be his normal, regular wife. And as for the first one, he still has to support her. He feeds her. He gives her to drink, but from her own bank account. However, we don't require him to provide her with the other aspects of the marriage, such as share, ksus, and ona, because a person doesn't have the capacity to live with somebody who is not mentally stable in one home. Certainly not to have relations with her, certainly not to have to live under the same roof. And he's not obligated to have to supply any medical needs for her, or to redeem her if she becomes captive. Then gerusha, and if he divorces her, harizim gerushas. Then indeed that takes effect, though he has transgressed. Motziyim mibeiso, he can send her out from her house. Ve'eino chayav lachzor l'itavapa, and he's not obligated on this rabbinic enactment to have to go and return her to his house to take care of her. Have a wonderful day.